Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe, and I don't know what the hell's going on with my own show. Jacob is not here. Aki is not here, but Bree's here. Bree, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing better now that I'm home and I've got food in me.
Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Jacob is ill, so we kind of expected him to not be here. No clue what Aki's doing. Potentially watching a different podcast as she does that. She's a traitor. Did you know she listens to other podcasts while doing our show?
Huh.
Yeah. And plays games while doing our show. It's fun. So how's things?
Yeah. Yeah. Now that my car is mostly working, I'm feeling good about that. You know, all the real world stuff, super boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a fun health issue this week. I had an abscess that I got infected that I needed to have drained, and it was messy and it was painful.
That sounds awful.
And I was sick and it sucked. And I didn't even want to do tonight, but here the fuck we are.
Yeah.
We don't know where Aki is. Hopefully she's okay.
Yeah, I hope she's okay.
Oh, man. Should we just dive into the news? I don't even know what else we could bullshit about right now.
I know, right?
Where is everyone? I don't understand. They had an Xbox Partner Direct today. Did you get to watch this?
I did not. I watched a movie while I was waiting for my car to be done. Oh, there she is.
Oh.
Ta-da! Like magic.
You're back in here. Y'all are just early. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What were you doing?
I was cooking because I thought it was an hour earlier than it actually is.
I was guessing you were listening to a different podcast.
No, not this time. Not yet, anyways.
I told you. She listens to other shows while she does this one.
Yes, I do. And I usually have music up and usually a game or two running.
Fucking traitor.
I'm not being a traitor. This is how I function. If I don't do this, trust me, you'd notice. Actually, you probably have
noticed. Listen to our podcast.
I used to function like that as well, and then one day I got a certain age, and then my brain functioned very differently.
Oh, I can't wait for that to fucking happen. Unless it got worse, and if it got worse, I don't want that to happen, never mind. But if it got better, I would very much like that to happen, like, now.
I only need to do two things at a time now instead of five.
Yay! Oh, man.
I would lose
anyway,
my
we were just about to jump into the news. Did you see the Partner Direct today?
No, I did not. I totally missed it.
Oh my god.
Are you the only one who saw it?
Yes, apparently.
Well, you're going to have to use your descriptive words and tell us the things.
Well, that's
I'm
going to
go look
happening.
It up.
The Xbox Wire has a good write-up on everything that was shown off. I'll just go in order of what I saw during the show. They started off, a brand new Hunter the Reckoning game was announced. Death Wish, it'll be coming out summer of 2027. So if you were a fan of Hunter the Reckoning, very good stuff.
I mean, I'm a fan of the World of Darkness universe, so that's always interesting to see.
Wuthering Waves is finally coming to Xbox and Game Pass in July.
Nice. That, I hope that does well. I always question how well stuff like that's going to do on the Xbox, because it has a tendency not to do great, which makes me sad, because stuff like this is really cool.
What's not doing great?
Well, there's a lot. This is one. Isn't this the MMO? Or am I thinking the wrong game?
I think this is more like Genshin.
Like an action RPG.
Okay, this might do better than I was thinking.
Maybe. Yeah, the entire time it was being shown off, I'm like, Aki game, Aki game, Aki game, Aki game.
It's very possible. If it's the game I'm thinking of, it probably is.
After that, they showed off The Expanse Osiris Reborn. Some new info.
Actually, I've been waiting for this.
Have you?
Yeah, I've been kind of paying attention to it. Just I'm not a huge fan of The Expanse. I've barely watched it, but I really enjoyed the Telltale style game that they did based on The Expanse world. And I'm curious to see what comes out of this game, because I do know some really big fans of the show. So yeah.
Very cool.
Nice. I've never actually seen the show, but everything I've seen that shows off anything from The Expanse, it looks cool.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the game is not out until spring 27. But if you want to get your hands on it a little earlier, there will be a beta April 22nd of this year that you can hopefully sign up for and give it a go. When it comes out, the game will be Play Anywhere and Game Pass. So,
ooh, awesome.
There you go. Next game they showed off was Grave Seasons. This is like a farming sim where your old cellmate writes an ominous letter about the new town you just moved to. While it seems warm and welcoming, something is amiss beneath the surface.
Oh, this looks like a Brie game, something fierce. This is
kind of Brie. Does.
You need it's to look at this.
Blumhouse, or however you're supposed to pronounce it, Films. It started a games division in the last year or two, and they've had a couple good games come out so far from that. So this is another one of theirs, it looks like. So yeah, definitely something I will keep my eye on.
After that, showed off a really cool game, Serious Sam Shatterverse. This is coming this year. It is a 5-player co-op shooter where you just...
Okay.
You're a bunch of Serious Sams, Serious Samming the shit out of things.
Okay.
It just looks like explosive, goofy fun.
Yeah.
It has 5-player co-op, so yay.
Nice.
That can be really good. Stranger Than Heaven from RGG Studio got a new look. That is the brand new title from the Like a Dragon devs. This is the one where the game story takes place across 5 different time periods with 5 unique cities.
God damn it.
Yeah. And they will have a bigger deep dive on the game on May 6th.
Okay.
Nice.
Doesn't look like my style of game, but it looks pretty.
Nah, it's an Aki game.
Oh, yeah. 100%, yes. 100%, yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a for me game for sure.
Kind of figured, yeah.
Anything looks like this is for me.
Next up, we got something for the psychos in our group. Super Meat Boy 3D got a new trailer, and it emphasized a guy destroying his house as he died over and over and over and over.
Not my kind of game, but I do enjoy playing it once in a while. I am not hardcore into the Meat Boy punishing platformer kind of stuff.
I figured because it's such a rage game and it's so fucking hard, this would be right up your alley, because you seem to love that shit for some twisted psychosis driven reason.
Well, we'll find out whether or not our psychos enjoy it on Tuesday, as Purnell and Tim talk about it. Game releases March 31st.
Very nice.
And Game Pass. Oh, yay. Forever Ago is the next game that was shown off. I am scrolling to it. Forever Ago. Follow Alfred on a journey to unlock... Oh, man, it's this game. Fuck, I don't want to talk about this game.
It looks like a really chillax game. I have a feeling it's going to deal with something depressing at the end of it, would be my guess.
My notes say, like, Forever Ago, Fall 2026, cute old man might die.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, because I'm watching all of these now live.
It's published by Annapurna, so I am interested to see that. It's a narrative story, most likely. So yeah, that's a me game.
Is it beautiful locations from Alfred's past and document his story of photographs in a single-player road trip that explores broken dreams, loss, and regret, but also courage, hope, and the power of friendship. Will be Play Anywhere and Game Pass Fall 26. And if the old man dies, I will fucking riot.
I have a feeling you're probably going to riot.
I have a feeling I'm going to fucking riot.
That very much looks like the vibe that it's going for, is it's going to be like bittersweet and then depressing at the end is what it looks like. So you're going to be rioting, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to burn things to the ground. Next game they showed off was Ascend to Zero. This one's coming out July 13th. It is an action roguelike where time is your ultimate weapon, as you can freeze foes in their tracks to gain a second or two to reset and reload, get different skins, abilities, blah, blah, blah. Play anywhere in Game Pass. Yay.
Nice.
Looks cool. High speed, high action. So, Purnell will probably want this one. After that, finally, some big news that we have all been waiting for.
Yes.
Dispatch is coming to Xbox.
Yay! Invisigirl Naked! Woo!
Well, don't celebrate until it releases. Don't forget what the Switch gamers had to go through.
I know. The nudity was censored. It was stupid.
Oh, no, don't tell me that. I didn't know that. La, 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 I can't hear you. No.
Okay, so just so you know, on Xbox, there are games with not just full nudity, but, like, sexual scenes, so I think we're okay.
Okay. I'm less paranoid now. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, the Switch has full nudity, too. They have Witcher 3.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not censored there?
Witcher? No.
Wonder why they had the censored Dispatch, but...
They had two versions of the game made. One for worldwide release, and I believe one for Japan because of the nudity. They made the Japanese or whatever localized version that was, the worldwide version for the Switch for whatever reason. And instead of fixing it, they just added a disclaimer to the store that the content is different.
Okay, that's fair. I understand the reason. Okay. I understand the reasoning why all that happened now. Okay.
I actually want to find the store page and read what the disclaimer is, because it's not like a very big disclaimer or anything. My store page will friggin' look. Hello, Nintendo. There you go. All right. Page is loaded. I am at the top of the page. There's nothing about it. Note, some mature content from Dispatch's original version has been modified.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that don't tell you shit. They should have just wrote, titties are gone.
Dicks are gone. There's like half a second of tits.
I didn't know there was any dick in there.
Oh my god, there's so much dick in the first 10 minutes of the game. It's hilarious.
That's awesome. Okay, I kind of really want this game now for that.
I laughed so hard playing the intro to that game. That's why Sony boys. That's horrible. That is terrible. That's why I'm going to like it, too. After that, Alien Death Squad, new game from Rebellion coming 2027.
I want this so bad. This looks so fucking cool.
Well, tell us about it, since you apparently already know about it.
Yeah, it's another Alien game. It didn't show a whole shit ton, but you were basically saw a dude trying to get out of an area, and he pulls himself through a cracked open, you know, security door from, you know, like a spaceship where they close in the middle to cut people in half real nice like, and he pulls himself through, and then he turns around and looks at the gap, and then Alien shows up and it starts sticking his face through to try and bite him, and he pulls out a gun and it's empty. I love that trailer. It was funny. It looks cool. I like the alien design and the fact that they had him pull out a gun and try to shoot and only be out of ammo was both really funny and absolutely fucking terrifying, because that implies that this is probably going to be a survival horror style game. So you're probably not going to find a lot of bullets. So this should be fun.
2027 for that one, and we'll hopefully keep our eyes posted on that one because it looks good. After that was Frog Squad, which is coming to Xbox in June. It is a slapstick puzzle platformer, is how they brand itself. It has support for up to 8 players, where you and your friends have to explore the sewers and secure food for the Swamp King, accomplishing various tasks through puzzle platforming goodness. I don't know if it has online. I would hope it does, especially if you're talking 8 players.
It looks like it should.
I would imagine, but yeah, that one launches in June. It will be Play Anywhere and Game Pass.
I mean, if you use your tongue to solve puzzles, I'm interested.
Indeed.
I'm not going to make a comment.
Yep.
Very sad Jacob's not here for this one, but Bluey's Happy Snaps from Gameloft is going to be releasing this fall for all platforms.
I'm excited.
It's a photograph scrapbooking version of Bluey.
I'm super excited for that, actually.
Even better, it's Play Anywhere and Game Pass.
Awesome.
Hell yeah.
Very nice.
Jacob, what do you think about that? I think it's pretty cool.
I figured you're just going to use the yay
okay, sound push clip. The button, Joe.
Yay!
There you go.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it looks pretty cool. It looks, I don't want to say significantly higher budget, but kind of does.
Fair.
So, I don't know. We'll see how that turns out. After that, they showed off the DLC expansion coming out for Stalker 2. It is called Cost of Hope. DLC will be out this summer for all platforms, with approximately a story with 20 hours of play.
Oh, hell yeah. Nice. That's a pretty hefty piece of DLC then. Damn.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It lets you take part in the conflict between the duty and freedom.
So the kitchen. Okay.
So yeah. That should be good. After that, a new game called Musa Dirty Fate, a samurai game coming out in 27. The whole time I saw this was like Ghost of Akishima.
Yes, you are. Yeah, this is definitely a me game. It looks so fucking awesome.
Yeah, I kind of figured that one was all you. Yeah, moving on. Next game they showed off was a game called The Eternal Life of Goldman. It is a whimsical platformer coming to Xbox later this year. It looks ridiculous as hell. This is a trailer you have to watch in action to see how goofy it is.
Yeah, it looks great. it looks like something I want to play for sure.
And he's equipped with his trusty cane and a unique host of abilities. And a demo is out now.
Ooh.
If you wanted to give it a try. So there you go. After that was a game called Vaunted. I'll get everyone's hopes out of the way now. It is PC only. It is a tactical RPG with explosive action and dynamic combat, where you wield powerful weapons, unique special abilities, a band of questionable allies. Looked really, really cool. And then it was like, PC. Fuck.
Yeah.
After that, we got hit with one more. Hey, guess what you guys are finally getting?
I'm excited for it.
April 14th. We're getting Hades 2.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
I need to finish the first game.
I haven't even started the first game, but damn it. The girl in number 2 is really cute, and it has really good music in it. So
you just want to see almost boobs.
I mean,
it's T-rated. That. Comet.
I don't care. She's still hot, and there's still good music. It's irrelevant. I'm just sad that I can't mech on one of the bosses.
Because
there's one of the bosses is a band, and I absolutely love all the vocal music that they do, and I just really like the interactions that I've seen between the main character and them. It's funny.
No, it'll be on Xbox in just a few weeks.
Nice.
I'm excited about. And then they wound it up with one final game called Artificial Detective. And yeah, I'm kind of mixed on this one.
Why are you mixed on it? It looks so fucking badass.
I don't know. I like visually it didn't click with me. The scenario just I don't know. What did you like about it? Because I can't articulate what didn't just click with me.
I think I understand why you don't like it visually. The main character looks, he's a metal man, obviously, and he, there's something off-putting about how he looks. I have a feeling that is a good chunk of what you don't like about the visuals of it, specifically him, because he looks, it looks weird compared to everything around it. But I really like the stealth mechanics that it showed. It showed him walking up behind things and then basically doing execution animations, which were real nice. It had really decent gunplay mechanics, it looked like. It even had the ability to where, like, oh, there was water in the ground and some robots walked into it and he shot a bolt into it that electrocuted them. And I love when games have shit like that, because it very much reminds me of, like, old Splinter Cell games back when you had the gun that could shoot the electric rounds or the airfoil rounds, all that fun shit. I really like that stuff. Also, the little girl, I assume robot, had a robot action figure and it was Gundam. So they already won my heart within like the first like 20 seconds because they had a proper Gundam toy in there. I was like, okay, these people know what they're doing.
It says one twist in the mystery, a single human child has been left behind.
Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed she was human, but I was, because I was skipping around, I didn't catch that part, but I was like, well, it seems like everyone else is very dead from the beginning, them saying that it's basically there's no people left. I was like,
saying either that girl's behind kind of says something different to me, like that the automatons have taken over or something. AI has conquered the world, which is where we're heading, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that was
the way the world wants to move.
That was the partner direct. What did y'all think?
There were a bunch of games I was really excited for.
I thought it was a really good event.
Yeah, there's like 8 games that were shown that I was like, these are definitely a me game. So I am all for it. That's a pretty large amount of games. Especially in a, what, like 30, 35 minute show? That's really good.
Yeah, it was like 30, maybe right on 30 minutes. It was a really short show. It was packed. The only thing I didn't like was after four games or five games, they would show two slides of the games they just showed. Nothing
new. Yeah, I didn't understand this, that.
This is what you just saw. You also saw these.
That should have been something they showed. That's something they should have shown at the very end, just so you could see a list of all the names of the games in order with like a little picture next to them so you could refresh yourself. That's where that should be, is at the very end, so you can refresh yourself on the stuff that came first. Or so you can take a picture of it and be like, now I have a reminder of everything that's there.
Just not do them at all. And do a recap at the end, but just, you don't need the shit in the middle. Anyway, little bit more Xbox news. Easy Delivery Company surprise launch to Game Pass this week.
Oh, I don't know what
I
that is.
I didn't even know it was coming.
Surprise, I need here. To look that
it's
up.
It's on Game Pass. Looks cute as hell. Crimson Desert, up to 3 million sales by Tuesday.
Very nice.
Assassin's like- Creed, you- oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel like Crimson Desert has had some, like, issues where people were accusing them of AI-generated assets or something.
Yeah, placeholder shit that they didn't remove, like everyone else seems to have that excuse. The thing I'm getting with all this AI art in the game is the people are finding it because it's blatantly bad. Like, it's the stuff you would use years ago.
Yeah.
I can buy that being a temporary thing from 4 years ago, and you just didn't notice it. Why does that cow have nine legs? Fuck, we forgot to replace that.
Yeah.
I don't like that they're using it at all. We'll have a game to talk about that later. But I don't think this is... Like, someone called Crimson Desert an AI slop game. Fuck off.
I wouldn't say that. No, God, no.
Jesus Christ. Some people overreact to everything.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, Assassin's Creed Unity got an update to fix the lighting issues on Xbox. How's it look, Aki?
It looks surprisingly better, especially for, like, story cutscenes. And most of the gameplay, like, when you're out and about, where generally where I am, where you've already beaten the game and everything... It's not a lot different. It's mostly for, like, cutscenes or when you're up close with people, do you actually notice it? The rest of the time, it's not super noticeable, in my opinion, but I'm also blind. So, take that with a grain of salt.
All right, and the last bit of news I have, a little indie company called Epic Games just laid off over 1,000 workers on Tuesday, claiming they're spending more money on Fortnite than they are making, right before also calling it one of the most successful video games in the world. Maybe ease up on the IP spam a bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know how they're spending more than they're making, because the revenue that they get off of that is billions. Multiple billions.
And I'm
just
I'm telling you how they spend a lot of it. IP. The licensing fees that they have to pay for all of those characters, all that DLC, every transaction. Like, they are paying a lot in licensing. And if they didn't license every goddamn thing in their game, maybe they wouldn't be allegedly spending more than they're making. And I still don't believe them there either. They claim the layoffs are not about AI.
Bullshit.
I'll hold my judgment there.
I'm not. Well,
we don't know, so we can't say one way or another.
They also announced that they're going to be taking 3 Fortnite modes offline as a result of this. The Rocket Racing, Festival Battle Stage, and Ballistic Mode. So, yeah.
For the festival fans, that is not the entire festival. That is just the battle stage segment of festival. The jam and main stages will remain for now.
For now.
Yeah.
From what I
remember, when they get shut down, all your $5 songs are worthless.
Yeah.
From what I understand, it wasn't even just like programmers and stuff, like the people that are always getting fired from this. They fired some apparently really important people. I don't really know all of them, but like,
yeah, they cleaned house on long-term employees. That's what companies do. They get rid of the old and they bring in the young who get paid less
and don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Aki, any news on your end?
Not a fucking thing. Woo-hoo!
Bree, what you got?
I got a couple things. First is more of a discussion. If you guys have paid any attention to, Microsoft has announced that they're going to be doing Copilot AI integration coming to Xbox soon. They've got a beta, it sounds like, out now that you can check out, where you can ask it to help you get past roadblocks in your games. It'll do it without having you need to leave the game as much. It's kind of like what Snap used to be used for, but AI.
Can't they just give us Snap again?
Yeah, I don't know. Can't
they just get rid of Copilot, something that they've been told by their users that their users don't want fucking want for years?
That's
now?
Never happened.
And cost the company a lot of money because never no
happening.
One fucking wants it?
Never happened. Yeah. They're not giving up on it.
Yeah, it's all over the store now. It's everywhere. I have to close it down every time I go to the store on PC. It's dumb.
I don't need your help. Not happy with how much. Like, I'm starting to consider looking into Linux.
I don't blame you. Lots of people are. You know, and all of this shit's just pushing me away from Xbox, the place where I do most of my gaming.
Yeah.
Steam's just going to make a lot of money from me, and that's fine to me. I don't give a shit.
The only real thing I've run into it so far in terms of Xbox usage is after I've played games on PC for a while, it'll pop up with a summary of, oh, you played this long and you got this many achievements and blah, 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 blah. Like, why are you showing me this? I don't care. Close. And that's as...
It's because it's Copilot. Copilot doesn't care what you want. It just wants to let you know it's watching everything you do. That's all.
Yeah.
Ah, man. What else you got?
All right. Well, speaking of Steam, they're under FBI investigation. Apparently there were some indie games, like 5 or 6 games that had some malware installed with it.
Yeah.
Through the Steam client. And, I think the games are called Block Blasters, Kemia, Dashverse, Lampy, Lunara, PirateFi, and Tokenova. So if you have installed any of those games, there's a form you can fill out online for the Steam malware through the FBI.gov webpage. And they're looking to, you know, deal with restitution for that and whatever. But yeah, somebody installed some malicious stuff in there.
Damn.
Yeah. Sadly, that's semi-common, annoyingly.
And, you did it, didn't you, Hockey? Yeah.
No. And I'm not even a joke about that, because that shit can really get you fucked. Because Steam's one of them scary places. You don't fuck with Steam. Don't fuck with Steam. It's bad.
Speaking of fuck, that Marvel collection's out tonight. Damn it, not have money. Oh.
What else you got?
Last thing on my list, I feel really bad about because Jacob's not here. It's movie watch.
God, you gotta warn me about this. I'm like nowhere near ready. It's movie watch. There. Totally not worth it.
But specifically because Jacob's not here, because it's Sonic movie watch.
Well, oh, well then. He gets two.
It's movie watch. There.
Apparently, Sonic movie, the fourth movie, has signed 2 new actors to the already pretty awesome sounding cast: Ben Kingsley and Nick Offerman.
Wow.
I don't know who anyone is off the top of my head. Give me a second. I have to go look these people up.
Nick Offerman, the guy from Parks and Rec with the mustache.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I like him. He's funny. And who's the Kingsley dude?
Ben Kingsley.
Gandhi.
Yes.
Okay.
Literally, that's one of his most famous roles is Gandhi.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, I recognize that face. I absolutely adore him. He's a great actor. Okay.
Yes. So there you go. That's I feel bad to have taken that away from Jacob, but it came across my feed.
He deserved it.
Have they listed who they're going to be playing yet, or just
that I did not see that, so I did not read that far into it. I'll be honest, I threw together news like Jacob probably does at the last second today, so yeah. I had things saved on my phone. That was where I was at. I didn't type anything up this week. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I guess the only other thing that we could bring up is looks like the spring sale is starting. Xbox has what they're calling the spring preview event up right now. So it'll probably be a week of some sales and then another week of more sales.
Yeah. Steam's also having a spring sale.
Sony's having one. The one I'm looking at, it caught my attention on my wish list. Hell Is Us is down, is 50%. The deluxe edition's 50% off, down to $39.
Yeah, I saw that too, because that's on my wish list too. I ended up getting Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I ended up getting the last of the DLC stuff I needed from that just, I think, yesterday, actually.
Is that the Daima stuff?
Yes. That's,
that doesn't have achievements, does it?
I don't know.
I don't think it does.
I don't care. It adds more story stuff. That's all that mattered to me. I was like, I don't know a lot of Dragon Ball Z, so I just got all the DLC for it.
That's fair.
Because I was like, this will at least give me the gist of the probably like 2.5 decades worth of Dragon Ball information that I absolutely do not have, because apparently now Dragon Ball characters have blue hair when they go super Saiyan. I don't know.
I was looking at the character or the DLC pass too for Sword Art Online Fractured Daydream.
Yeah, I was looking at
Hell Is Us. That's one that has my attention.
For me, it was the Sword Art Online, and then the Banishers is on sale right now. I think 65% off.
Nice.
Those I'm looking at.
Any other news, or should we dive into what few reviews we've got for now?
Let's do the divvity dives.
All right. First up, Homura Hime, developed by Crimson Dusk, published by Playism. Released March 4th on Steam for $24.99. Homura Hime is an anime-style 3D action game merging exhilarating thrills with tension-filled gameplay of bullet hell. Players dodge hails of projectiles, unleash combos that blend close quarters combat and ranged attacks, and utilize dodges and parries to withstand the fierce onslaught of demons. Aki, what is going on in Homura Hime?
Well, in this, you play as an exorcist, and you are working for a big exorcist organization, and you're basically just finishing your training and then immediately being sent out on missions to go kill all the demons that they go and exist. So you got to kill them all of them. And you fight. It's all in 3D battlefields. You're fighting with a sword and with a person, kind of using a person as a gun. Don't ask questions. It's fucking weird, and I don't have answers for you because it's fucking weird.
This ain't school. So, I ain't asking no questions.
Yeah.
Not my real teacher.
You're going out to go fight demons, and all the ghosts and the people who have lost their souls thinks the demons just being around. That's just something that happens around demons. And so you get a whole bunch of just standard zombie style enemies that you go around and kill as, and then you end up at the end fighting a boss battle against a demon that are always really cool. And your character starts to be like, maybe these demons aren't as bad and evil and stuff as we think. Or maybe we might possibly be the bad guys here, just slaughtering them for no reason. Because, whilst everyone else around you is like, no, stop that. Don't think that. That's a bad thought. Don't have those thoughts. Don't kill demons, please. So, yeah, every biome is different, so every level is completely different from each other. They do have lots of very similar interiors, because a lot of them are inside buildings that are old Japanese-style buildings, and therefore they look much the same-y, because they all look like the internals of a fucking castle. But the outsides are all completely different, and each area has, well, there are a bunch of a standard zombie-ish style enemy. There are also enemies that are for their own levels. Like, one of the levels has you going up this castle, and there's lots of plant life and stuff in it. So a bunch of the enemies in that level end up being, like, different types of plants that have come alive. There's also all the standard zombie-style enemies and some upgraded zombie-style enemies. But there's also the plant enemies that are there because of all the plants that are all around. So you have these giant tulips that basically burst out of the ground, and some of them will fling themselves at you to try and strike you. Others will shoot laser beams at you because fuck you in particular. And the great thing about this is literally everything can be blocked. And everything has basically this little stun meter that you fill up by blocking stuff or doing damage. So once they're stunned, you can just go in and get some damage. It's not like you get like an instant execution or anything, sadly, even though that'd be really fucking cool. So it just stuns them for a little bit. There is an interesting mechanic to some of the mini bosses and bosses in the game. They eventually, some of the enemies, you'll see a little block in their health bar. And once you get their health down to that, they become what's called enraged. At that point, you can no longer do damage to them. Instead, you have to block a certain amount of attacks in a row, or else it resets, in order to basically knock them out of being enraged. And once you succeed that, they also get stunned, and you get to do like a super special high damage attack on them as well. But getting those blocks in is sometimes extremely fucking hard. And if you miss one, you have to get them, you have to block them once to knock them back into that area, and then do all the blocks in a row that you need to. And they have a tendency, if they knock you out of it, they have a tendency to do a lot of damage to you in that attack, and they tend to do an unblockable attack afterwards. And then go at you with something that you can block and then bring them back into it. I don't know how many times I've died to enemies like that, because they're just, it's so hard to get them right, because sometimes the block button doesn't quite respond like it really needs to, like when you push the button. It's usually pretty good about blocking when you push it, but not always. It's same for the jump button. It usually responds really well, but sometimes it's just like, oh, yeah, that's right, you meant to push that button. I'm sorry, I forgot you pushed that. Don't worry, you'll spawn back up here after you finish falling to your death. It'll be fine. So, it's a little finicky sometimes with that. Usually, it's all really good, but sometimes it just decides you didn't push a button that you very clearly did. And it's like, come on. Yeah, it's otherwise it's been pretty fun. I am surprised by how much I've enjoyed this. If you have photosensitivity issues and they're severe, I definitely wouldn't play this, because some of the areas I actually had to pause pretty regularly through, just because some of this stuff is
damn
very flashy. Surprisingly, not a lot of the bullet hell sections were a major problem for me, which is something I'm usually very worried about, and I don't usually play bullet hell style games.
And you still put 8 hours in this game, which blows my mind.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Let's cut to the chase on this one. It is $25. Your seizureific self enjoyed it. What is your official verdict at 25?
I think most people are probably going to have a pretty good time with this. If you like bullet hells, this is a pretty easy one. So yeah, I still think you'll have fun. The interactions between the characters is really fun. I'm so totally down for this. This is really good. The only people who need to stay away are people who are photosensitive, and it's like a severe one. Definitely don't play this. But everyone else, I think this is totally something that you should buy.
Very good. Next up, Trash Goblin, developed and published by Spilt Milk Studios, released March 26th on Xbox Series and PC, Switch and PS5 for $19.99. A wholesome, cozy shopkeeping game with no pressure, no stress, and endless good vibes. Uncover and clean trinkets, then upcycle them to sell to endless, colorful, and quirky customers. Spend your savings to upgrade your shop, buy better tools, plus expand and customize your space. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. The three of us potentially are also going to be chatting with some of the folks from the studio next week. We don't have to go too crazy in depth on this review, but we should cover the basics. So who wants to start?
I can. In this, you play as a little goblin and your foster parent, basically, who's also seems to be a thief, get you stuff that you can sell. You're selling basically pieces and parts that people need. You get them basically in this giant stone thing, and you have to break all the stone off, and that is part of the game. You spend an hour block basically of your time, and you get this big cube shaped thing, and there's different colors on it, and each one of the colors takes a different amount of hits to break off, and eventually you hit something that gets an X through it, and it basically says, oh, you can't destroy this. This is part of the thing. So you break everything around it until there's only that piece left, and then it shows you what it actually is. At that point, you can then spend another hour block and clean it up so that you can sell it. Now, whilst you're doing all this, people will occasionally show up at the shop, and they will request an item for you. If you have it on hand, you can immediately just hand it to them. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, I want this thing, but I need it cleaned, or, oh, I want this, and I don't give a shit what condition it's in. So that tells you whether you need to clean things or not. And until you give them the item, unless you tell them to fuck off, they will just stay there permanently. So you don't have to worry about, oh, I haven't found this item yet. Here, let me go break a bunch of this shit. And, oh, wait, no, it's been 3 days. Oh, I've missed it. No, they're still sitting there for
reasons beyond me. Have the patience of a saint.
Yeah. Yes, all of them do. And eventually
he's probably busy. I'll give him time. He's looking in the back.
Extremely, yeah. You do get some named people that show up, and basically you can tell them to that you'll get to them when you find the object they want. And you can call them back when you get that, but most of the characters are insert race stranger. So you got human strangers, elf strangers, lizard strangers, mushroom strangers, whatever. Those people, when you tell them to fuck off, they just leave and they don't come the fuck back. They'll come back whenever. But the other people, the named characters, you can tell them to leave because you don't have the item. And once you get the item in the condition they want, you can call them back and they'll just come back and it's nice. Yeah, there's nothing that you particularly need to do. It's not like, oh, you need this much money every month or anything. No, it's like you have this many hours in the day. Do whatever the fuck you want. Like, there's an achievement for both getting basically doing the chipping, which is where you get rid of all the dirt and rocks off of the item. Do that for an entire day and nothing but that. And there's also one for doing nothing but cleaning a day. Those were two of the first achievements that I got just because I was like, fuck it, might as well.
Did you do that, Brie?
I did not look at the achievements yet. Wow. I know. Shock. Shock.
What'd you Everybody do in the shock. Game so far?
I have tinkered a lot. So some of the things that I have enjoyed about the game, I'm just going to like hit my list of notes here. There were plenty of options in the settings for holding, pressing, and hovering for your different modes, like chipping and cleaning. So you can alternate between holding and pressing. I really liked that you can...
hovering is where it's at.
I mean, hovering is good. I love that this game is very tactile with a controller. I've actually seen this game streamed from a PC, and now I'm wondering if it was nearly as much fun and tactile as it is on controller. You have to hold and press buttons to chip away at things with like A or a right trigger, and then you rotate items with the right stick. And then I thought like it felt like I was really kind of holding an object and going through the motions of chipping away and cleaning with a sponge. And I liked that feeling, that tactile feeling that you get, like you're really kind of in there. And this is very much like a fantasy chorecore kind of game. It's super cute. The other thing too, I would say, is that you have a lot of options for how you interact with the space. There's really only four stations. You have the customer counter, you have the workshop space, you have the bed, and then you have, I don't know what the fourth space was off the top of my head, but you can either move by clicking on an eyeball to go to the hot spot that's active at the time, or you can press the bumper buttons to cycle through, or you can manually move as you want to kind of interact with the space in different ways. And I just thought that was really accessible. But yeah, it's a really fun game.
All yeah, right, it's super well. Cute, and it feels real nice.
Well, we are going to talk a whole lot more about this on an upcoming episode, probably the next one, actually, which I am very much looking forward to. But for now, the game clocks in at $20, brand new on Xbox, Switch, and PS5. What do y'all say?
I'm totally 100% for this. If you have something that can play this game, buy it and play it. It is so cute and it is so fun.
Yeah, I also agree. I think this is going to end up on my list of favorites for indies for this year so far. And we'll see how far I get this weekend playing more before the interview. So, yeah. I'm saying buy it.
Very good. Next up, Real Politics 2, developed by Jujubee, published by Ultimate Games, who were also awesome enough to hook us up with a few extra copies to give away. Big thanks to Ultimate Games for that. Make sure to type !enter in chat for your shot at winning copies. We'll do those later on during the Muzak. Released March 19th on Series X and S for $24.99. Real Politics 2 is a grand strategy game where you lead a modern nation managing its economy, diplomacy, espionage, and military while facing global threats like terrorism, pandemics, and famine. So you're basically president. Build your country, shape its political system, command armies in land, sea, and air battles, and use diplomacy or covert actions to secure your path to world dominance. Your decisions shape both your nation's stability and the global balance of power. Man, this one feels really real right now. Brie, how is it?
So, yeah, I honestly don't want to get in the weeds about current world affairs, but there is some realism to this game that gave me a feeling of control over things that was kind of nice. The art on the main screen has three leaders with masks on their face of current world leaders, and it looks creepy as fuck. It's a strategy game, and that's not normally my kind of game. But it's also a simulation of sorts, so I was kind of curious to see what it was all about. There's a cinematic intro about politics, poly meaning many, ticks meaning blood-sucking creatures. We've all heard that joke. But no, it was very educational about the origins of political systems. It showcases some opinions that may or may not be favorable to some, but that is the nature of its subject. I did not play the first game, so I don't have a comparison to that. But there are four scenarios in this, or campaigns. There's a tutorial is one of them, and then there's one called On the Brink of Tomorrow, The Pandemic Aftermath, and Nothing Ever Changes. The Brink of Tomorrow is set over 100 years, and it's a balanced modern take on management. The Pandemic Aftermath is about rebuilding the economy and other factors after a coronavirus situation. And Nothing Ever Changes is like a post-apocalyptic management sim. There's different difficulty ratings from trivial to hard. The tutorial is pretty advanced. It has a companion to help you out. All of your scenarios have companions to help you out. But in the first one, it's clippy. It starts out with, you seem to be trying to play real politics too. Do you need help? As a message. And it's clippy. It's cute. Yeah, other scenarios you have companions like Sonya the Red Doom, and your chosen companions give you certain boosts as well, which is nice. But I mentioned this is like a strategy management game. I might even compare this to a tycoon game. It's just about running a country instead of a theme park. There are lots of menus with things to manage, like hiring employees for your cabinet, hiring specific people gives you different bonuses. You'll have to manage resources like money and manpower, metal, fuels, missiles, all while monitoring your HDI tech development, your GDP growth, your action points, your score. And you can see all that from the top bar of your screen, and then you have access to like speeds, a calendar, and different settings. So it's very tycoon-like. Most of your control of the country takes place in the left bar, where you have five main categories. It's like government, economy, military, local info, and then foreign affairs. I'm gonna skip some of this information I wrote down here just because I feel like this game gets like really detailed really fast, and I could sit here and talk about it forever. Yeah, it's very detailed. You do get into espionage and diplomatic actions and even colonization. Or you can do things like perform speeches, have a military parade. Like, it all depends on the style of governance you prefer. If you wanna, you know, be a dictator, there's a path for that. If you want to be a more balanced diplomatic governor, a president, or whatever, those are options for you in your game. You'll need to worry about things like the degradation of the environment in the world at large from things like, ooh, unsolicited dick's pic.
That's for you.
Yep. There you go.
For all the ladies out there.
Oh, yeah. the things people miss when they're not here for the live show. All right. But yeah, you can place tariffs or embargoes on neighboring countries. You can liberate them. It is really hard to talk about this stuff without feeling I'm touching on current affairs too much.
Can you liberate the U.S. in it?
I didn't get that far into some of the scenarios to know that that was an option. Some of the countries are fictitious, depending on your scenarios. Some of them are realistic. So, like, I really enjoyed the post-apocalyptic scenario. You have choices for countries like Freedom America. There's a Sand Ghoul's Cavern. There's New Eden, the Meme Machine, and even the Ottoman Empire. In their post-apocalyptic campaign is pretty cool. And the more realistic campaigns, like the COVID one, there's over 200 nations to choose from. You've got a variety of stats that you start with. You can raise armies, you can build tank units, invest in air divisions and infantry. Like, the game has an all-new combat system. You can even build infrastructure like hospitals and improve on the social rating of your country. There's just really a ton of intricate systems to get your paws on and tweak, and I've barely scratched the surface of explaining it in this review. There is some voice acting in the form of like narration and the opening video that was well done. The music is kind of awesome, actually. Really good like atmospheric track with a little tension, and yet it's somehow still calm. Controls are a combination of cursor movement and controller selections. Some negatives, though. Let's get into that. I had a dashboard crash twice in the beginning of the tutorial and had to start over. And that was disappointing, especially since you can't save in the tutorial. I also had crashes doing some of the other campaign scenarios, and I got frustrated with the game at that point. Some of the menus have issues where the text and the button symbol got smushed together in a few places. It was very frustrating dealing with the crashing. I have messaged the company, and hopefully I can help them troubleshoot, if that's a thing. But yeah, I think personally I find games like this overwhelming, and that's not the game's fault. I played a few of these strategy management tycoon style games now, and I feel like if you're really comfortable with that style of game, you'll be fine with this format as it is familiar.
All right. Well, clocks in at $25, or if you're hanging out in chat, you could win one. What do you think of it?
If you like the style of game and they can fix the crashing, this is at least a try it. And that's coming from me who doesn't like the style of game. I think the price is decent for the amount of content you get, and the amount of depth to this game is impressive. If you've never played a game like this, I don't know that I'd recommend this as a place to start, because it does feel overwhelming with the amount of really good detail it has. Again, emphasis on the really good detail for those of you who like the style of game. But currently, with the crashing, I can't recommend it because it's practically unplayable.
Yeah.
So, a mixed bag there. Like, it's a try it if they can fix the crash issues. If not, pass. Sorry.
That's fair.
Yep.
All right, next up, Bonnie Bear Saves Frog Time, developed by Bonte Avond, published by Off Brand Games. This one released March 16th on Switch and Steam for $16.99. Bonnie Bear Saves Frog Time is a frog-obsessed comedy adventure featuring tactical frog battles, bizarre quests, and the mother of all frogs, the Mother Frogger. Yes. Some of the features I wanted to mention is that it features a bear in a frog onesie, a giant skeleton man, a normal-sized skeleton man, at least 12 heartfelt moments about the importance of community and what it means to have self-worth, and you could put hats on the frogs. Aki, tell us about this one.
Okay, so you're a depressed bear in a frog outfit. And your name is Bonnie, and your friends basically wake you up at midnight one day by singing you a birthday song, and then one of them breaks into your treehouse through the window. So, just to make sure that you actually, you know, get up and stop being depressed for a minute. And then immediately afterwards, you're handed your cake and your birthday gift. And the birthday gift they got you was a bag of frogs. Not real frogs, maybe. Maybe they're real frogs. I don't fucking know. I'm not going to ask. And it's basically a game that everyone on the island plays, where every frog has different values and different skills and abilities, and you put them on a board that's just four lines, and you move them around trying to get them to the end so you can take off some of the other player's health. So toads aren't able to jump over frogs, but frogs can jump over everything. Woo! Some of them have special abilities, like some of them have wings and can fly over enemy units that are blocking them. Others can, like, every time they move, they blow everything within a certain distance from them one step further back. Stuff like that. And this little game that they teach you is actually pretty important to the game. I wasn't expecting that. So I did not pay a lot of attention at first, and I realized that was a very bad idea, and I had to go through the tutorial. Because thankfully they do let you have that.
Good for you.
Yeah, that was 100% my bad. I thought this was just going to be a little fun mini game that you could occasionally play. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to ignore that and focus on the story. No, you need it. That is the story, folks. After you and your friends, you know, talk about that, some douchebag comes up with his little group, the King of the Beach, he calls himself, and he is a beach, that is for sure. And he steals one of the presents that you were given, which is apparently a magical seashell, as well as eats your cake. And that makes his stomach upset. And then he yells at you saying, was there cake in this? Cake that he literally just ate? He's a jackass. And some of the game from that point forward is you're basically trying to knock him off his high horse and get your damn show back, because he's a douche. And to do that, you have to beat him at this game, where he has a cheating tool that doesn't actually exist in the game. Because he has a frog that every so often, every X amount of moves, it just blows up and does damage to you, but it doesn't get removed from the board, except for you cannot buy that frog, so it is not a legitimate frog for the game. He's a cheating bastard. I know, because I've gotten all the frogs. and yeah, so basically you're playing everyone on the island. Some of them require you to have more self-confidence, which is a meter that raises as you beat people. It lowers if you lose against them, so be careful about that. And basically, when you go to play against other people, it will give you a number. And as long as your confidence is that number or higher, you can play against them. Otherwise, Bonnie says, if only I was more confident, I could challenge them. So you end up, you know, interacting with everyone on the island. You get to talk to them all, and you get to challenge them to battles to slowly raise your confidence. And the great thing about it is, if you're not very good at the game, because you have really crappy frogs at the beginning, you can basically switch between, like, the same few people, because they don't just go, not all of them just go away after you beat them once. You can keep challenging a handful of these people, and you can keep alternating, because after you play them once, it takes some time before they'll play again, and that time has to be spent doing either a story mission or playing someone else. So once you get two of these people unlocked that you can alternate between, you can just farm money by winning against them, and then you can go into the shop and buy new frogs from gacha machines, basically. And all of these frogs have different abilities, or toads if you're buying the toad ones. And once you have a certain amount, I think it's like eight, after eight of them, you have to throw one of them away, be it one of the one you just bought or one of them that's already in your inventory, because not only are you getting these frogs slash toads at random between, oh, these ones do these certain things and these ones do other things, there's also different values for each one of them. So, like, one frog might be called, like, a pusher or something, and every step it takes, it pushes an enemy within two spaces back one. So the two spaces in front of it, it pushes both of those back one space. Unless there's something behind the last one anyways, and then it can't go back. But it does that every time it takes a step. Well, you might get a version of it that if it gets to the end of the board, instead of doing one damage to the other player, it does two or three. Or maybe it pushes enemies within three spaces of it back a space, or four spaces of it back a space. So you're constantly figuring out, do I want a better special ability, or do I want it to do more damage? Which version of it do I want? Which frog slash toads do I want to come up with a strategy? Because you don't get to choose between all of these at once. And yeah, it's just this. It's basically just this game. Everything is related to this game. Any questions? I feel like I'm going on way too long now.
I have no questions. My brain broke a while ago.
Fair.
It looks like a really cute one. I'm guessing this isn't, like, most family friendly.
No, it's pretty family friendly, actually. It is even extremely. With
Mother Frogger?
Yeah. I think it's really funny because your mom apparently is the person who owns the bake store. And when you're told to go ask her to open up, you basically knock on the front of the shop and it pops open like you would expect in a street vendor. And it's a picture of an actual bear. So you're this adorable, you know, cartoony bear that walks around on two legs. And then there's just like a literal bear behind it. It growls and gurs while you're actually using English. And it's hilarious. I love it. That's just what this game is filled with.
All right. $17. Verdict.
I'm 100% for this. This is adorable. It is really fun. Your kids will love it. You'll probably love it too. Go for it.
Very good. Next up, File Destined, developed by Metavision Studio, published by Dolores Entertainment, released March 27th. Series X and S and PS5 for $9.99. File Destined is a psychological thriller game developed with Unreal Engine 5. While you're getting a chill down your spine with the impressive story and realistic locations, you'll also witness the mystery behind Oliver's story. In this last case of Oliver, I'll just be a small part of a bigger picture. Gather clues, unravel the mystery behind the case, and uncover the truth. In the end, the truth may be quite disturbing and different than what you expected. Bree, what's File Destined?
I wish that the ending was that much of a twist for me, but unfortunately I have played some other games with a similar twist, and I'll leave it at that. This is a game about Oliver Hamilton. He's a detective in the near future, where virtual reality crime scenes are available. And there's a particular file we're going to like train on or something that the AI companion assures us is safe and easy, and it could not be further from the truth. We walk into what looks like an old hospital. It's dilapidated. There's blood on the walls, and then there's creepy sounds, and people are appearing on the ceiling to scare us, and the doors are opening and closing on their own, and something's definitely not quite right here. This is a big murder case we're trying to solve. And so we've got to endure the spooky, mysterious things going on. There is a tutorial that is only so helpful. It doesn't tell you how to crouch or turn off your lighter to conserve fuel, but you're supposed to need to balance your time in the dark versus the light. So you do that with a lighter. You don't. You get that pretty early on, like in the first tutorial section. You have to find lighter fluid all over and refill your lighter. And again, it tells you like half of this information in the tutorials. I didn't find the need to use the lighter all that much, and there was plenty of fluid all around the game. So if you're worried about that, like it's not super big a deal. But it is a function of the game. There is a lockpicking minigame you'll need to figure out, because the only tutorial for it kind of half tells you what to do, and I eventually figured it out, so it wasn't too complex. But yeah, this is an adventure detective game. The main menu is a cursor-based menu, and so are a lot of the investigatory processes. That's a word. You'll need to pick up objects and rotate them and investigate them to find all the clues on them. And then there's lots of objects to interact with in the game, and you'll want to be thorough. Thankfully, the pop-up text for each item will tell you if it's insignificant or not. And other items you can find, like a little eyeball icon as you rotate, and it'll unscramble text when you've found all the clues of the evidence. This is voice acted. You mostly have Oliver talking to himself about the observations he's making. There's pretty good audio, ambiance, music, sound design for all the spooky stuff we experience. Graphically, I thought the game was pretty good. You have all manner of distorted faces, broken hospital set pieces, paintings, statues, stuff like that. The lighting varies between greens and reds to help show you where to go. It was a sufficiently creepy environment without being gory and horrific, because this really isn't that kind of game. It's really more in that, like, psychological horror kind of vibe. The downside of the game for me was that you would kind of get trapped in places. Doors would close behind you, and this is, like, story-based, so it's not like I got soft-locked into anything. But until you find the right clue, you're sort of stuck in that room. Or if you needed to unlock a lock or see the right scene, until you did those things, you'd be trapped in that space. And sometimes that was frustrating, because ultimately this is a pretty linear game. So there's no place to like go back and check if you missed something. It's like, nope, you're in this room until you have figured this puzzle out. And there was like one time where it took me probably far too long, and I was a little annoyed. But once I figured it out, I was like, oh, that was me just being dumb. You're exploring variations of the same hallways and rooms a lot, which is where the environment is kind of a character in the story as well, which was really neat to see. I always enjoy when people take objects or buildings and make them a character in the story. But yeah, it's hard to talk about this relatively short psychological horror story experience without giving away the ending, but overall, I like this one.
How long do you think it runs?
Less than 4 hours. Let me actually look up what time it took me to do this with notes. It took me less than 2 hours, including notes.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, do you think those 2 hours are worth $10?
I do. I can't say this is like the most amazing game I've played all year, but there wasn't anything wrong with it either. I really enjoyed it. It was a good short experience, and I would say the price is good. I can give this a buy it, actually.
Very good. One last game to talk about with you two. This is gonna get ugly, I think. Last game, Salvage Shop Simulator, developed by Game4matic, published by Game4matic and Playway, released March 12th on Steam for $7.99. Enter the world of shopkeepers, trading in reclaimed goods, bid for the best items at auction, prepare and clean the bought items, and then sell them in your shop. Test your skills, watch your business grow. Hockey, tell us about this one.
Well, in this, you're supposed to be somebody running a salvage shop that basically gets in junk and sells better junk, supposedly. That's what you're supposed to do in it. However, the voices in this game are all AI made. Straight up, they admit.
No, let's save that until the end.
Oh,
let's
no.
explain what the
no,
game is.
No, I can't first. Do that. You buy shit.
Lloyd is rating us, so we're getting yells anyway. Welcome in, Lloyd and viewers. I guess the screen was right on time that just you dove immediately into the AI discussion.
Well, I think it's kind of required for the rest of the conversation of this entire game.
All right, well, I will read the disclosure on the Steam page. AI-generated content disclosure. Some audio elements in the game were created with the assistance of artificial intelligence. AI tools were used primarily to generate music, certain sound effects, and the voice acting. All content was reviewed and integrated by the development team.
Yeah, so basically they're saying, if it's a sound in this game, it's AI. But don't worry, that's only some of the sound. Just stupid. So yeah, in this, you're supposed to play this dude, and the game starts with him basically at a funeral being like, oh, Grandpa, we were just fixing up a porch yesterday. You're gone too soon. And it shows a dude that's there, and it's this middle-aged black guy. Looks real nice and respectable. And then it shows, you know, his past in like little snippets of like pictures and stuff. You know how games like to do it when they're not doing full cutscenes. They just show pictures. That way you get a feel, so you can get a little bit of emotion for the story. And it shows a skinny Mr. Miyagi as the grandfather and a little Asian kid. And I've never known a little Asian boy to grow up into a black man, but, you know, hey, Michael Jackson turned into a white woman, so what do I know? And then you're immediately get directly to being right in front of the shop, and you're given gameplay. Apparently someone's breaking in because the shop is fucked up, and you're told, chase after them. There's one problem with that. There's no them to chase. There's literally no one fucking there, because the visuals apparently weren't added in. I have eyes and I'm a human, so I see that there's not a person to chase. So I chase after the nobody, because thankfully it's a very straightforward thing. You're in one door, there's another door on the other side. That's clearly where I'm apparently supposed to go. It tells me gives me instructions on how to crouch so I can get under this garage door. I do it, and then it immediately tells me to turn on the lights, because it has given up all concept of whatever this chase is supposed to be, to go in and turn on the lights instead. No fanfare, you just duck under the go chase after this invisible man some more, and then it's like, nope, now we're doing something else. That's nice, okay. So I go do that, and I start picking up trash, because that's the next thing it tells me to do. And the entire time, all I'm thinking is, none of this is making sense anymore. None of this. I'm chasing after an invisible person. The tutorial suddenly stops halfway through a chase to tell me just to do something the fuck else. All the visuals of the game aren't making sense from the opening cutscene. Okay. Well, now I've picked everything up. It tells me to go into a menu to buy stuff and place it. Okay, cool. Let's go do this. Has instructions for how to do things if you're playing with just a mouse and keyboard or if you're playing with a controller. Go into the menu to buy stuff, like it tells me. Controller doesn't work. Well, I'm a person. The instructions do tell you how to do this with a controller, but it don't work with a controller. I'm a human. I know this. I can see this. Okay. Try to do it with the mouse and... Sometimes it works, sometimes it just freezes up and locks up on me, and I have to close the game and start the fucking game back up. Thankfully, it restarts you in generally the same location, and you can hopefully get it to work. Woohoo! That's the game. Have fun. This game is a fucking mess. And, I have trouble imagining that it's just the voices. Now, maybe it is. But you would think, if you're trying to sell this game,
the music,
you would notice each one of these fucking issues that are blatantly fucking obvious, and be like, maybe this might need to change a little. No one did that, apparently. So this game just don't work very well. When it does work, it's okay, it's fine. Picking up the trash was fine. I was okay with that. Fixing up the shop was okay, because it was like, hold the button. Alright, cool, I can do that. Once you go into the shops, everything breaks down, the game locks up, and you have to close it half the time. More than half the time, actually. Nothing about this game fucking works. This is not very well put together. They need to bring this back to the drawing board and have some human beings actually look at it, I think. Because if human beings looked at this, then they need somebody who knows how to code and has functioning fucking eyeballs. Yeah. I'm blind, I notice these problems. This is bad. It is bad. The level of problems in this.
Is it even worth asking?
Go right ahead and ask if you really want but...
$8 verdict.
That's about $20 too much.
That's not one of our selections.
Oh, well, then no. It's definitely a deny it.
There you go. That's one of our selections.
To be playing this.
That is not one of our selection.
It should be.
That is not and never will be.
It should be. You know, maybe they'll fix it in, you know, a year or two, maybe, hopefully. We can hope that they do something to fix it up, but as it is now, this is... none of it works, so no. No. I couldn't even get through the tutorial because it kept crashing. So that tells you something right there. And I have a damn good computer. So,
All right. Well, that is it for right now. We are going to take a tiny little break, and we'll be back with Jacob's reviews. Yay.
He needs to stop getting sick. We need to get him some, vitamins.
We're all dying on this show.
I mean, everyone's dying, but unless they're already dead, in which they've already died.
Does anyone have any final words to wrap this segment up?
AI sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. And you know, if it's a middle of reviews and we cut to intermission music, it's because of Jacob. Jacob's here. How are you doing?
I'm feeling better than I was yesterday.
That's a positive.
It is. I don't seem to be shitting my guts out as much.
That is very good.
Thank you.
I will applaud that.
Yay!
Aki, are you happy for him?
It's irrelevant to me.
Come on, you know his ass is important to this show.
It's what true.
What would Ryan Niemiller talk about without?
Yeah, but he's not here right now, so I don't care.
So we did news already, but Jacob, you usually have a few tidbits. Do you have anything you wanted to cover?
That isn't Sonic Movie Watch, because Bree did mention that already. Yeah.
What did she mention?
The new people who were hired, the new VAs, the important new VAs that are good. And if you don't know that news, you're going to have to look it up, because I
mean, didn't I talk about that last week?
I don't know.
You mentioned that Keanu Reeves was back.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, he's back. Jim Carrey's back. And they hired Nick
Offerman.
Nick Offerman.
And someone else. Ben Kingsley. That's right.
The more important one.
Sir Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, God. Gandhi. They got Gandhi in the movie. So do you have any news for this week?
Did you mention about Horizon Chase Turbo?
Did not mention. We did mention the Epic layoffs. I did not mention that that was one Horizon of the casualties.
Chase, yeah, Horizon Chase Turbo is getting delisted in June. Also, EA is going to be delisting Battlefield Hardline. So that sucks.
Yay!
Honestly, I'd recommend both of them. I liked them both.
Okie dokie.
I never played Hardline.
I thought it was pretty decent. Like, it's cop. Like, you're playing as a cop instead of like a soldier. And you have to do like investigative shit. Like, I.
Is it Sherlockian?
No.
It's a pew-pew game. I wouldn't,
yeah, no. It's still pew-pew, but like you have to still have to collect evidence. So, yeah, and I don't think I have any Disney Dreamlight news for you guys. Why, did Bree do that too?
No. Just think it's funny that that's like those are the two pieces of news that you
movie watching really Disney.
I mean,
hey, when you have an expertise, Disney movies and assholes.
Hey,
well, they're all kind of related together. Well, the free Whispers of the Wind update launches on April 8th, and that's when we're going to get Pocahontas. So
nice.
you talked about Pocahontas already.
Well, yeah, I know, but now like they finally nailed down a date for when she arrives. Nice. And also they're going to be doing a some sort of event in celebration of Disneyland Paris. They're opening up a World of Frozen park, I guess, over there. And so in the premium shop, they're going to be offering a bunch of stuff related to that.
Nice. That's kind of cool.
Oh, you know what?
I wonder if that's the only game we cover the in-game premium items.
I'm wondering if like that's like if that's what Olaf's store is going to get tied in with. Huh. Well, anyway.
So anyway, in actual real news, did you guys hear the PS5 prices going up?
Yeah. I saw that up on True Achievements, yeah.
Yeah, the PS5, all models jumping up in price. They say effective next week. A lot of stores are already effective now. PS5 going from $549 to $649. Digital $499 to $599. PS5 Pro $749 to $899. And even the PS Portal $199 to $249.
I remember when I was a kid and shit was out in the store, and after it was there for a long enough time, motherfucker would go down in price. Yeah. Not the fuck up.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to those days?
I wonder how many people are going to start shitting on Sony for jacking their prices up again, or if they're only allowed to make fun of Xbox when they do it.
It's only making fun of Xbox because it's PlayStation people who do it.
This is strategic pricing to prepare us for the next generation of consoles. clearly
that are going to be like
Sony's very smart and they know what they're doing.
Well, they know what they're doing at least.
Ooh, we have a contest. What's the contest? Grind Survivors. All right. I'm going to enter in for...
Sounds like a dirty game. And it's not. And that makes me sad.
It's not, yeah.
Review that one.
I did, but I'm gonna enter for Trash Rando.
Vanessa.
Because I'm a nice fellow like that. Anyway.
Yeah, as of right now, the PS5 and the Series X clocking at the same price. The Series S 1 TB is even with the Switch 2, and the 512S is the cheapest system going at $400.
Yep.
That is kind of sad.
Which is, because I feel like that's right around where my 2 TB Xbox Series X, the pre-order, when they first came out, I feel like that's what that cost. That sucks.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Kind of tired of everything going up in price.
Yeah. Except for what you paid. That never goes up.
It's always scary when you hear like a loud like gulping sound and you're like, oh no, one of the cats is going to throw up, and you turn around. It's like, nope, Pickles just licking his balls. Just loudly. Like Jacob's style, dragon tongue full over the nuts.
Yeah, but Pickles is more impressive. Jacob's are unattached.
No, Jacob can't reach his own.
Yeah, I can with my hands.
Oh, with your mouth, you moron. We're talking about licking.
Oh, no, that's what Ryan's.
He just
for.
Has to fetch him out of his wife's purse. It's fine.
Oh, geez. Should we move on to your reviews, Jacob? Is there anything else to talk
about?
No,
I do have one last bit of news.
Better be good.
It's interesting at the very least. Where the fuck is it? What the fuck?
He's prepared. Super.
No,
prepared.
I'm trying to. Oh, there it is.
It's
there it
movie is. Watch. There.
There we go. So, a surprise Super Mario Galaxy poster got released yesterday featuring a non-Mario character, Fox McCloud.
That's pretty cool.
He is apparently going to show up in the movie, and now fans are wondering if the end game of this whole series is going to eventually lead to some sort of like Avengers-esque Super Smash Brothers movie.
I'm fucking there for that. If we get the Nintendo Cinematic Universe, I'm in.
I don't know how it'd work because Sony's in charge of Zelda.
As long as I get Samsung,
I don't know. I think Nintendo would say, "Hey, you have the rights to a live action Zelda. We're doing what we want because he's our."
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess they would. So.
By the way, on the soundboard, if you go to an item on the right side of it, there should be a star that you could click, and it becomes a favorite sound.
Yep.
And then I'm just gonna
make things awkward for time on this show.
That was horrible. Can we see that again?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Dumbass.
You big old dumb idiot.
Jacob's all like,
I can't satisfy you sexually.
Or in any other way, for that matter.
Yay! And then I was like,
oh! I'm so full of milk.
You would be.
Yeah.
Because I'm about to eat that ass.
That's the fun clips we get from wrestling. There was an up after that. Eat that ass up. But. You know, time constraints and stuff like that, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, I am pretty fucking awesome. So, anyway, should we get to your reviews?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we could just, like, you know, stop recording or something.
All right, here's the question for you. Do you want to do trains first, or do you want that to be Kids Corner?
I would just do it as first, and okay. I'll talk about that.
All right. First Jacob review is Thomas and Friends, Wonders of Sodor. Developed and published by Dovetail Games, that released March 17th on Xbox Play Anywhere, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. Switch versions coming later this year. Join Thomas and his friends on a special journey across Sodor, up into the cabs of Northwestern Railway's classic steam team, to enjoy nostalgic stories and all-new narratives right from the driver's seats. Explore the wonders and a fun and magic await. Jacob, give us the info. What is Thomas and Friends?
So Thomas and Friends, it's one of those things where I'm actually surprised it's taken this long for us to get a Thomas game on consoles. Like, you'd think, with as popular as the brand is worldwide, both with adults and kids, like, we would have gotten something by now. And, like, I realize, like, yeah, people do modding for various train games and stuff like that. But yeah, we haven't gotten anything before. And so when this got announced, actually, when they introduced DLC for Train World Sim, I was like, oh man, like, you know, about time somebody finally monetized on this thing. And then they announced the game. I was like, oh, slam dunk. So this Thomas game, puts you on the island of Sodor, as you may recall, and it, as far as I remember from when my kids were young, it seems like the map is absolutely faithful to the show. Now, it doesn't seem to have all of, like, the special random stuff for all of you who, had to sit through all the different, like, movies, like, you know, Hero of the Rails and, like, Misty Mountains and all that kind of, like, all that stuff that I had to watch way, way, way too many times when my kids were like 3 and 4. So it doesn't have all that kind of stuff. Maybe it'll be DLC one day. It sets you on the island of Sodor, and you can start this game off with Thomas. Although if you want to choose one of the other engines, you can do that. Gordon, Diesel, Percy, James's DLC. I think I'm leaving somebody out. Not sure. But anyway, so you could choose which of these trains you want to do, or which one you want to, like, drive around Sodor, because you're actually playing the role of a conductor. You're not playing as Thomas or Gordon. Apex Assassin is asking about Gordon. That's the, like, the really long blue one. He's like the fastest on Sodor up until Spencer shows up, which I'm just like, oh my god, I know way, way, way too much about Thomas and Friends. Anyway,
yes, you do.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like my need to, like, know all the lore of something when I have to, like, when I'm forced to get into it is really bad, because then I could go on, like, for tangents about, like, oh, well, you know, there used to be a train called Buck, but unfortunately, like, you know, with how,
yeah, it's called info dumping.
Yeah, I do that a lot, but, you know, like, oh, they replaced Buck with Charlie, but even though they'll still make toys of both of them, all that kind of stuff.
There actually have been Thomas games before.
I know that there have, but there has been one in a Thomas time, though. Like, yeah, not for last modern one consoles.
Was 3DS in 2015.
Okay, that's a handheld,
that is,
though.
That is a hefty weight. Wii, yeah. And DS 2010.
Okay, PS2. So it was on the Wii. All right. PS2, well,
got one in Europe and Australia only. So PAL collectors, there you go. And a Thomas game in a blue, see? PS2 case.
Oh, but so anyway, so you're playing as a conductor with these, okay? And so if you want to, you can learn how to play the tutorial using this tutorial, which is hosted by Sir Topham Hatt, and he's going to, you know, he explains all the different controls that you have to do. I want to preface all of this before I really start getting into the nitty gritty. The game that you get and the game that the trailers show you are not, they're not similar. The way that the trailer shows it, it looks like kids are like, you know, are going to be able to play this right off the bat. That is a solid no. Like, unless you're going to let them do free, like free exploring, like the whole entire time, kids are going to get super frustrated with this.
Can I take a quick guess on what the game really is?
What?
It's Train Sim World, complexities and all, with Thomas the Tank.
It's dumbed down a little.
Okay.
But yes. But absolutely yes.
That was so, my fear when I saw this game get announced, and it coming from the makers of Train Sim World, is that it's going to be a great game, but kids are not going to click with it.
No, and my kids did try. I mean, I had to force them to, because they were like, I was like, hey guys, I got a Thomas and Friends thing, and they're like, we haven't watched that in like ages. We're not interested, Dad. Too bad. I need to know how you kids are gonna do. So let me. I'm gonna be honest here. Nobody in this family has completed the tutorial. And it's not because I don't understand the instructions, but the tutorial itself is rage-inducing, and so are the missions in this game. Because if you do anything wrong, it makes you start right back at the beginning of the module. And so you could be like just at the tail end of the tutorial, and you didn't stop where you were supposed to. Like, you're off by like 2 feet. Or, like, you're not even sure where you're supposed to be because the game's instructions didn't quite tell you where you're supposed to be. Well, too bad. You're starting over from the very beginning.
Oh, and, no.
Oh, yes. So.
Wait. If we're going that route, where is it?
Oh, my God, no!
Yeah. And so, as I said, none of us have finished the tutorial. Don't get me wrong. Like, when you get to do, like, free explore in this, this is beautiful. Like, it is a lot of fun to just speed around Sodor. Like, you know, it, like, go up and down hills, like, change tracks, hop out, you know, like, operate the switches and stuff like that. Like, it's a lot of fun, and each of the different trains, like, they operate slightly differently, and so Gordon goes a little bit fast, so does Diesel, and, like, it's cool to explore, but doing missions in this thing, like, unless, like, you're already familiar with Train Sim and all of its, like, little weird nuances, this game is gonna be a pain in the butt, as you have to constantly restart entire missions. And like, just the tutorial alone lost my kids. And it's like, it's not like they don't know how to play stuff, but like, they got frustrated with it, but they're also already past, Thomas and Friends, like, for the age group for that. Like, in case you're listening and you're not aware, Thomas and Friends is generally popular with like the ages of like 2 to 5 crowd. This is not for them.
And George Carlin fans.
Yeah, and the Train Sim fans are like 45 plus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd say like 25 plus, but yeah, like, it's just like, you've...
It's a pairing that makes all the sense in the world, except in execution. For
marketing. Yeah.
Because the source is too complex. Like, the source game is too complex for a source video that is as uncomplex as possible. And it seems like they just couldn't find that balance between the two.
There really isn't. And it's just, it's disappointing, because like, you could you could see that there's a ton of care put into this game. Like the models look fantastic. Like, each of the different towns, like, they look Like, it looks incredible. Like, any fan of the Thomas franchise would be happy with this. Until you go to actually try to complete missions. And then it's just like, if you're a kid or just like a casual fan of this kind of stuff, it's going to lose you so quick. Because you're going to be failing missions left and right. And unless like you just want to tool around Sodor and just like go explore all the nooks and crannies. I wish that this like had a far more casual experience attached to it, so kids could do the missions and stuff like that and feel like they're actually accomplishing stuff. I shouldn't say missions, like they're really more tasks, because it's really just like take Annie and Clarabelle and fill them up with passengers and have the passengers like go off to I forget the other towns or stations' names and stuff like that, but it's just like you could do that. Like, it should just be simple as that, but like it's really not. And even with all the beginner stuff, which is automatic coupling, like there's like little guides for speed and stopping and stuff like that. Even with those on set on beginner, it's still like this thing just is still too a bear.
Demanding. Well, if people would like a pseudo taste of what this game could potentially be like, Train Sim World 6 Thomas and Friends Edition is on a free play weekend right now. If you were listening to this after the fact, you probably missed it, but you know, that's on you. You should fucking listen to us earlier. This clocks in at $40. What are your thoughts?
If you're a fan of Train World Sim, then absolutely. If you're looking at a game for like a 5-year-old kid, this is not it. Like this is not the direction you want to be going in for a game that's appropriate for that age.
Yeah.
But like, as I said, like, you know, for the hardcore enthusiasts, this is right up their alley. But like, it's the game wants you to think it's going to be good for casual fans, but this is going to be a tough sell. I think they need to put in some work, like to just make it a far more simple game that could be aimed at kids. But as it stands, buy it for adults, not for kids.
Gotcha. All right, moving on. Next up is Arcade Archives 2 Devastators, developed and published by Hamster. This one came out March 18th, my birthday, for Series X and S, Switch 2, and PS5 for $9.99. Arcade Archives 2 Devastators is a shooting game released by Konami in 1988. In this game, a group of elite mercenaries known as the Devastators are hired to save a developing nation from the invasion of a superpower. This edition includes both the English and the Japanese version, which feature some differences in gameplay content. I'm gonna guess violence. Jacob, what is going on in Devastators?
So Devastators is first off, the game's art is definitely not based on Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando and Sylvester Stallone in Rambo. Most definitely no, that's not. Well, no, this too. if you look at it, like you could tell, it's very similar.
That's making a joke that Contra's the one. This is Scott Free. Oh. Contra's the one.
Oh, well,
damn.
Okay. Well, anyway. So this game is essentially the video game child of every single 1980s action movie ever, and it's one or two players. And you are the, like, it's like, well, this one global superpower has risen up and they're invading this other country that has this stuff. And this other global superpower decides, oh, we're going to put a stop to that. And they drop off these like super soldiers and you have to go in and do all these various missions, which is really just run from one end of the map to the other. Shoot up a bunch of enemy soldiers, like destroy some heavy artillery or sniper positions or helicopters that are in the sky, And then eventually, like, you get to the end where you have to face off, like, against a boss vehicle. And then it's like, hooray, like, we blew up the oil refinery. Like, yay. And so, I believe it's similar to how the G.I. Joe arcade game was from the 90s. Which I've only seen a couple of pictures of, but, so, I mean, it looks similar, but anyways, so it is a forward-facing shmup, if that makes sense. And it's done in, like, a third-person kind of view, and you're constantly running forward, although you can hide behind, like, sandbags and, like, red barrels and stuff like that. And you just have to shoot the, like, you have to shoot at all the enemies. Like, that's pretty much it. And, like, you constantly, like, move forward. You pick up bits of weaponry, which is used to destroy, like, enemy plates.
If you want a better idea of how the game plays, think of stage 2 in Contra, where you're running towards the walls, and you gotta shoot the guns off the walls and the red bricks, and...
That's fair. I'm not as much of a fan of Contra, so I don't...
That's because you suck.
I do. I am horrendous at Contra. Like, it is, like, I am impressively bad at it.
And everything else, to be fair.
No, actually, I was doing pretty good on this game, to be honest. So anyway, So you're picking up, like, the rocket launchers, extra grenades and all that kind of stuff, and you're using that to disable, like, the enemy towers, helicopters that come in, occasionally planes. And then, yeah, as I said, you shoot up, the boss vehicle at the end, and then, you move on to the next mission, and it looks like there's at least, like, 12 missions, but, honestly, this game's a ton of fun, and to be honest, I was doing pretty well at it, so, I mean, that right there is a big ups for me, because... Yeah, I generally suck at these kind of games. But yeah, like, it was, like, it's a lot of fun. And, like, I had never heard of this game before the Arcade Archives series did a release of this. And so...
I knew where I heard this one.
What's up?
I played this one while I was going for my 1K in a game room on 360. This was one of the games Konami released in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not have this game with that.
Yeah, there was a lot I missed in that game, but I remembered playing this one, and I'm like, when did I play this one? I know I played this one recently. But, yeah, it got that version, and now it's here. It looks like they made a total of 400 machines, or no, I'm looking at the wrong spot, that can't be right. Saying 442 machines, but that can't be right. This seems too popular to have that few.
I was gonna say, that seems small for such a good game.
Unless I'm reading this site wrong, I could be. I'm just trying to find information like Chris and be helpful.
Too bad.
Yeah, I'll never be helpful. One day.
But yeah, like, as with standard, Arcade Archives titles, like, you know, it has the the high score version. It has the marathon stuff. Like, there's multiple modes to play as, and there is, like, the English and Japanese versions that are included with it.
Did you play the two? Did you see any?
I only played the English version. I know that the Japanese one has a different opening screen, but I figured I'd stick with the English one because those are generally easier.
That's fair. All right, well, this one clocks in at $10. What do you think of it?
Hell yeah. Like, this is an excellent one. I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's staying on my Xbox for a while.
Very good. Next up, Royal Revolt Survivors, developed by Team Warriors, published by Head Up, Released March 16th on Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, and PC for $9.99. Royal Revolt Survivors delivers fast-paced, top-down, roguelike action fused with addictive survivor-style combat and massive replayability. Defend your kingdom against relentless waves of enemies and fight to survive run after run. Jacob, what is Royal Revolt Survivors?
Royal Revolt Survivors is pretty much what you get if you thought that Vampire Survivors was a little too dark and scary. And so what happens in this is that the kingdom has been like overtaken by these evil forces, and the mightiest warriors like band together for one last like, you know, hopeful battle and blah 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 blah. You know the plot. Anyways, like, there's different warrior types. Each of them have a different weapon that you can use. You just go at it. You kill a bunch of guys. You gather XP. You level up. You gather, like, you collect gold coins so then you can create permanent bonuses for all your characters. So on and so forth. And then pretty much just find a character that matches your playstyle and go to town. And a lot of the weapons are very similar to what you would have in Vampire Survivors. Like, so this one, you have to... in Vampire Survivors, there's a garlic, which creates this, like, field around you, and it just, like, automatically kills anybody who touches you. There's a similar one for that. Like, there's one, like, fireballs that you could toss out. Like, there's a sword that, like, which the king has is the most useless weapon of all time. Like, there's arrows you could shoot, like, it's all that kind of stuff, and you have to balance between, like, what you want your active weapons to be and what you want your passive abilities to be. And as you keep going through it, you're going to get introduced to bosses, or mini-bosses, and then eventually an end boss, and hopefully you can free that land. And as you do, you move on to other lands, but also upgrade your stuff. Now, the gameplay is similar. If you've played Vampire Survivors or just about any other Survivors game, you know what you're getting into. Okay? So, enough about that. But with this game, the main difference for this compared to other Survivors games is the visuals. And they are definitely more bright. I don't want to say cheery, but like, they're definitely like more cartoonish animated kind of stuff. I don't know if this was ever a like an app game, but it definitely gives those kind of vibes of like a game that you'd see on like Apple Arcade and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't look like it is. Okay. Well, but anyways, it reminds me a lot of that kind of art style. And honestly, it's a pretty fun game. Like, I'm currently running through it with, the desert mage who throws like a fireball or whatever. Because that honestly, in my opinion, that's the most useful starting weapon, and then I just like grab like the thing that's garlic but not garlic, that thing as soon as I can, and then I'm just running through swarms of enemies and leveling up and, you know, just killing everybody on sight. But I've been having a lot of fun with it, and yeah, like, I think it's definitely worth checking out if you're a fan of this genre. Like, it's kind of nice to not see everything like set in as doom and gloom as like Grind Survivors or Vampire Survivors or Hall of Torment, like those kind of games. It's nice like having things set out in a bright and cheery forest and meadow occasionally. So I don't know. I'm liking it.
All right. Well, it's $10. What do you think of it?
$10. I'd say go for it. I'd say buy it.
Sounds good. While you're talking about Survivor games, let's talk about another one with Devil Jam, developed and published by Rogueside. This one came out March 26th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $7.59. Odd price, but okay. Let me double check that. Is that real? Showing $7.59. I don't know. Whatever. Get ready to mosh and devil jam a survivor-like roguelite in the fiery depths of hell. Yay! After signing a curse contract with the devil, you're dragged to the underworld and forced to perform the gig of your afterlife. Armed with possessed instruments and a soul full of riffs, fight off endless waves of deranged fans, vicious mobs, and hellish rivals. Master the combat, harness the power of metal, and rise to claim your place as the greatest metal icon. By defeating death himself. Jacob, what's Devil Jam?
Devil Jam is another Survivors like game out there. Although when I was describing it to my coworker, because one of the neat things in this game is that you do have quests that you have to complete that certain characters will give you along with the quests that you have to do. And he was like, oh, so it plays like Hades, which I'm like, I guess I don't know. I didn't play Hades. So did you, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, did you play this?
No.
Oh, well, shit. Okay.
Hades 2 is coming to Xbox, though. Did you see that?
I did, yes.
Yay.
So, yay. There may be similarities between this and Hades. I don't know. But yeah, so you are this musician. You get sent down to hell, and the devil's just like, yo, I need you to go kill death. And you're going to be dying a bunch of times while you do it. And you're going to have the personification of the seven deadly sins coming through, and like you're going to be talking to them and having them help you out with various things.
I'm looking at screenshots. This is Hades with metal.
Okay. Each of those deadly sins are going to offer you different stuff, like different weapon types and or abilities, I should say. And of course, with any other Survivors games, you have to decide how you're going to juggle that. But what this does that's kind of neat, and it took me a while to figure this gameplay thing out, is that like it's set up like a note chart, kind of. And as you get various abilities, sometimes they will assist various other abilities depending on where they're set up on the note chart. And so you actually have to plan that kind of stuff out as you're going along. And like some of them will make like a diagonal shape across the note chart, like other ones will make like a cross, other ones will do like an X. Like, and so eventually everything helps everything out one way or another. But it took me a long time to figure that one out. But this game is also brutal. You're going to be dying a lot as you start off. Like, so get used to it. But eventually you can start leveling up, like your permanent abilities, and stuff like that. And as you last longer and you get more stuff done, and complete various missions that the devil has for you, you're going to unlock other stuff, and that allows you to talk to other people. And then you, like, it just opens up way more. And so then you have way more stuff to deal with. Now, I will say that leveling up your permanent abilities gets to be a pain in the butt because there are multiple currencies involved, or multiple objects that you have to have. Like initially all of them start off with like, you just pay for coins, but then you have to start having these tickets. And so like, you might have to have like 5 red tickets, 3 blue tickets, and like 1 purple ticket to be able to level up to the next thing. And so you're just going to have to constantly be grinding over, like over and over and over and over and over again. To be able to level up all these abilities. But trust me, like when I say like, it's worth it. And I really do like the storyline that's going, like, I mean, it feels minor, but there is definitely a storyline going on in there. And the music's good to boot. Like it's, it's one I'm not, I haven't gotten tired of listening to while I'm playing this game, which a lot of these survivor types, like, I will eventually, like, mute the music because it's just, I don't want to hear it over and over again on a 15 minute loop. I haven't run into this with this game yet. And so the soundtrack is well done. It looks great. It plays difficult, but if you're willing to stick with it, like, there's a lot of cool stuff to explore and find in this game. And I really like it.
Very good. Well, once again, it clocks in at the unique price of $7.59. What do you think of Devil Jam?
Honestly, $7.50, like, that's like, holy shit. Like, definitely pick this up. Like, that's an, like, that's insane. Like, this is, this should be like a minimum 10, but for $7.50, absolutely.
Alrighty. One final game on this episode. First Time in Rome Collector's Edition, developed by Boom Zap, published by Ocean Media, who are nice enough to hook us up with an extra code to give away, which we will drop in chat later on in the evening. Many thanks to Ocean for the giveaway keys. Kate Robinson and her daughter Nicole are back and ready to explore another new city for the first time. This time, Kate is working on a big job with a local tourism agency in Italy's beautiful capital, Rome. Can Kate and Nicole enjoy everything the city has to offer and still find time to complete the assignment? Find out in this adventurous new hidden object puzzle adventure game, which I forgot to mention, released March 16th on Xbox for $6.99. Jacob, what is First Time in Rome Collector's Edition?
So, First Time in Rome is the sequel to First Time in Paris, which is not a video that got released, leaked onto the interwebs many, many years ago.
Wow, that's a dated reference.
It is, but I felt the need to make it. Anywho, you don't have to have played that game to understand what's going on here. It is a mom and her daughter who seems to be like she's like 18, 19, 20-ish, like somewhere around there. The mom runs a travel blog and the daughter helps her out on these assignments, and they are like this jet-setting pair who now they finally have to go to Rome, and they get sent there on this assignment for this travel agency whose business is slow, and hopefully, you know, you can help drum up business for them, but also, you know, boost your own travel blog kind of thing. And yes, there is a plot. It's convoluted, and like, both First Time in Paris and First Time in Rome, it's just like, it's a very convoluted, like, not quite soap opera-esque, but like, it's just a lot of amazingly enough and like issues that could have been solved if people that, like, you know, weren't so hasty and quick to act about stuff. But anyways, a lot of this is based on hidden object gameplay, and thankfully this game has a magnifier, so us 40-year-olds who are playing this, you know, we have a sporting chance at it. But unfortunately, there's nothing that you could do to change like the brightness on any of the screens to make things more visible, and so yeah, there's gonna be a lot of stuff that they're like, oh, you have to find this, which helps you like figure out circumference, and I'm like, all right, well, I'm like probably looking for like a compass or like a ruler or something like that. Or no, it was a symbol for pi, and it was hidden in a shadowy area that I wasn't able to see.
Ouch.
But thankfully the hint system is there to like try to help you out. But half the time the hints were like, especially if you're on something where it's like find the difference or find matching pairs, like it's already going to select the thing that you've like that you've already. All right, so let's say that you're doing a matching pair thing. I select the basketball, but I can't find the other basketball. The game will be like, oh, well, here's the basketball, but it's the one I've already selected. And it's just like, okay, well, that hint was not particularly helpful. Thanks, guys. And so you're going to be doing a lot of aimless clicking as you try to get through this. Now, it does break it up with other puzzle modes. So there will be various, like, pictures that you have to put together, find the difference between two items, that kind of stuff. The standard stuff that you see in hidden object games. To be honest, I did not enjoy this one as much as I did my first time in Paris. I felt that it relied a lot on having to hide stuff in areas, like in dark areas where you're not going to be able to see it. You might have had an easier time seeing it if, like, you had a tablet. Like, if you were playing it on, like, a tablet or a phone and, like, you're able to just, like, shove the thing right up into your face, but you're not able to do that on Xbox.
You could stand up.
Well, yeah, but even then, like, my kids and I did this, which, by the way, I've now discovered I could torture my kids when they aren't allowed to be on Xbox, like, because currently my kids got in trouble this week, so no Xbox or video games for a week, and so I'm just sitting there playing games that I have to review, and they're like, oh, could you, like, play something? And I'm like, all right, and so I throw this game on, and they're like, no! Oh, it's a hidden object game, but then they still got into it because they got nothing else to do. But yeah, like that pi symbol thing, we were never able to find it, and like we had no idea what the heck we're looking for. And it's just, it's more frustrating than it needs to be. And it feels like it, part of that is to pad out gameplay time on this game. I wasn't as big of a fan of this as I was the previous game, which is a really weird thing to say, but
no, clocks in $7. What do you think of this one?
I mean, you could spend worse, like you could get worse things for $7. But we've reviewed better titles, like better hidden object titles on this show. I'd say try it, wait for a sale. If there is ever going to be a sale on this game, I don't know, because it is only $7. But there's definitely some stuff that needs to be improved with it. Like, as I said, there really needs to be a brightness slider for these types of games.
Yeah, most games should have gamma settings, but it's like invert Y. That should be a default in any first-person game.
Yeah. I agree.
It's not always there. It makes me sad. So, I guess wait on a sale, try it on this one.
Yeah. Yep.
All righty. And with that, we are finished. Excited, Aki? Woo!
Yeah, a little bit, I guess.
Your life feel complete that you got to hang out this whole time?
Well, you know, I didn't have anything better to do, and I'm doing kitchen prep. I
really find that hard to believe. Like, you, all right, hold on. So you had no better video games to play.
Who said I wasn't playing video games?
All right, fair enough. You didn't have, like, Gunpla to put together? Like, instead you decided to hang out with these, like, us two schmucks?
Well, right now I am waiting for the weekend to happen so I can get a couple Gunpla finished, actually. So,
well, wait, why do you have to wait for the weekend? Why can't you just start now?
Because I need my mother's help for fragments of it.
Oh, okay. I guess
so, that makes sense. Music this episode. Jacob, you had a request, didn't you?
I did.
Am I going to get a copyright strike playing it?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think it's totally worth it.
Yeah, we're going to give it a try. I'm not even going to spoil what it is.
A beautiful. I love you, Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is I need to go actually flip on the podcast again. Okay.
A little bit just snuck in right there before I got to pause it so I could clip the song. But if you heard that, you know what's in store.
Sadly, you know I have a 30-second ad right now, so...
Yeah, I hate that shit, but
everyone does. It's fine.
It's either 30 seconds when you come in or like constant during the stream. And yeah. I don't want that. I would rather people come in and have to deal with it briefly and then just enjoy the rest of the show. So hopefully people don't get more hate ads. Anyone have any final words to end the show?
Nope. Not this time. Sorry.
Drink plenty of fluids.
So Jacob can piss them out.
Exactly.
And you can piss them out, because that's what happens when you drink fluids.
And then we'll be piss pals.
Piss pals! Woo, piss pals! I thought I'd get more excitement out of that one.
Oh, this is stupid.
Piss pals! Woo! Woo!
Y'all are dumb.
Yeah, no shit.
Motherfuckers, come on! 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 I got 7 Mac 11s, about 8, 38s, 9, 10 Mac 10s, the shit's never end. You can't touch my riches, even if you had MC Hammer and them 357 bitches. Biggie Smalls, the millionaire, the mansion, the yacht, the two weed spots, the two hot blocks. That's how I got the weed spot. I shot bread in the head, took the bread and the lamb spread. Little body got the shoddy to your body, so don't resist or you might miss Christmas. I tote guns, I make number runs, I give MCs the runs dripping. When I put my clip in the AK, I slay from far away. Everybody hit the DECK. My slow flow's remarkable. He's too Mateo. Now we smoke weed like Tony Montana, sniff the yayo. That's crazy blunts, mad L's. My voice excels from the avenue to jail cells. Oh my god, I'm dropping shit like a pigeon. I hope you're listening, smacking babies at the christening. So you better grab your pistol, cause if you sit still, I'm gonna make your fucking shit spill. And I'm talking about buckets. Why did I have to do it? So that said, fuck it. You got a gun, nigga, bust it. Cause I got more shots to pop your big popper. Breaking your own something proper. Signing off is the hardcore rap singer, aka Rack Slinger. Bring it anytime. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Come on, motherfuckers, come on. Come on, motherfuckers, come on.